They're coming for me. My loyal listeners! My loyal subscribers! They're angry. They're filled with rage! There hasn't been any new episodes of the Basketball Podcast in 2 months. The last time we talked was about Anthony Davis getting traded to the Lakers!
Okay, alright, hang on. That's too many drums. We don't need that many drums. That was too intense. I feel like I was being chased by a pack of hyenas. Like I was a wildebeest recording that. That was just stupid. Let's just start the episode. Welcome to the Basketball Podcast. We're back, baby. I say this, I feel like every single episode, we're back, because I take these crazy long breaks in between episodes. But I promise, we are going to start to publish regularly. It's always hard to publish in the summer when there really isn't any basketball going on. So we're going to do a free agency recap because I missed the whole free agency period. I'm going to talk winners, which teams won free agency, which teams lost free agency, and which ones I can't decide if they won or if they lost until I actually see the product on the court. That's what we're going to talk about this episode. We've got a couple of additional questions saved from our mailbag because our mailbag is just overflowing from the 2 months that I took off. It's overflowing with questions, so I've handplucked two questions from the mailbag for the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't subscribed to the Basketball Podcast, please subscribe. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Casts, Spotify. I've got quite a few followers on Spotify, so thank you for listening. If you're using Spotify, thank you for listening. I've made like $1.50 on this podcast. It's incredible. It's incredible, the support. Thank you for listening. We're on Anchor as well. If you didn't catch the ad at the beginning, we're on Anchor, by the way. Thanks for listening. Let's get into it. You're listening to the Basketball Podcast. Okay, so just like that, here we go. Free agency winners, losers, and I can't decide. Let's obviously start with the winners because that's always fun to discuss who won. And I'm not even going to really cover, we're not going to talk about, if you didn't hear yet, this happened. Like, that's silly. This free agency happened a month ago. If you didn't hear about free agency yet, then go Google it. Google it if you're unfamiliar with what's happened in free agency. Winners. Obviously, the Clippers are the big winner of free agency because they got Kawhi Leonard and somehow they got Paul George as well. And I'm happy for the Clippers. Good for them. They're trying to fight the giant that is the Lakers. And this seems like a pretty significant attempt to take down the beast that is the Los Angeles Lakers. And I don't mean from an actual pure basketball standpoint, of course. I simply mean from a market ownership standpoint. Who's king of LA? Which basketball team rules LA? And of course, it's always been the Lakers. It's never been the Clippers. But for them to put a much better product on the court every night, perhaps that pendulum begins to swing in the other direction, in their direction. So it's certainly a bold move for them to give up on a young player like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Not to give up on him, but of course to use him as a trade asset. To get rid of Gallinari, who had one of his best seasons in the NBA this past year. Possibly his best season since he played with New York. If you didn't know, he used to play with New York. That was back when he was good before he kept breaking his knees. They got rid of both of those guys, and then they backed up the unprotected pick dump truck and unloaded it at the Thunder doorstep for unprotected picks as well as 2 pick swaps. So they basically salvaged their future for 3 years of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George with the hope that they re-sign. Now, I'm labeling them as a winner because, of course, they are expected to be the best team in the West for the next 3 years, so long as those guys are healthy. They have a good core of players. Aside from Kawhi and Paul George, they have Pat Beverly. They have Montrezl Harrell. They have Lou Williams still, Sixth Man of the Year. They also got Mo Harkless this offseason, I think. They re-signed Zubac. I don't know how to pronounce his first name. I'm not going to try. So they've got a, honestly, a really solid rotation of players that can all of them are just solid on both ends of the court, except for probably Lou Williams. He's an excellent offensive player, a liability on defense, but he's an excellent offensive player. Sixth Man of the Year, continuously. Obviously, on paper, they're a very good team. I think that on the court, they'll be a great product as well. I do, however, have concern about one particular thing, and it's that they are investing in Paul George to be that guy for the next 3 years alongside of Kawhi Leonard, and hopefully further on. My assumption is that the Clippers are thinking to themselves, this can be the beginning of a very long, bright, beautiful future for us. Now, maybe they're like, nah, we just want Paul George for the next 3 years, and then he can go do whatever he wants, because they want to win a championship. This is their window, and they've basically said, this is it or nothing. You can walk in 3 years. I'm assuming that's not going to be the case, because they did give up basically 6 picks in the future. So they're more than likely expecting that Kawhi and Paul George will play out these next 3 years and then continue to play for them. It's very dangerous for them to have done this. Honestly, it is. Like, you're sacrificing your future for the hope that these guys will be your future. Or maybe they're just like, well, look what happened to Brooklyn. Brooklyn basically did this, and they just got Kyrie and Kevin Durant. So they were good last year, too. They were a playoff team last year. So anyone can bounce back from it. It's just going to take a little bit of time. I just have concern with them saying Paul George is going to be in our future. Because Paul George has a tendency to be very misleading. If you're the Clippers, you have to be concerned about Paul George's loyalty. I'm a Pacers fan, so I'm saying that with a little bit of bias. Obviously, I was upset when he came out and said he didn't want to play for the Pacers anymore, and he wanted to go to Los Angeles. He wanted to be traded to the Lakers. I was very happy when we decided to trade him to another small market team in the Oklahoma City Thunder. I thought, that'll show you. That'll spite you. That's spiteful. I wanted to be spiteful. Go to Oklahoma City. It's way worse than Indianapolis. And of course, they got bounced in the first round. They built a super team with Westbrook, Paul George, and Carmelo Anthony. And they got bounced in the first round by a rookie point guard from the Utah Jazz. That was one of the greatest playoff series I've ever watched, by the way. And of course, I still watched it with a little bit of spite towards Paul George. And it wasn't because he didn't want to play for the Pacers. It wasn't because he wasn't loyal to us. It's because he had come out and said, I want to play for the Lakers. I want to play for the Lakers. I want to play for the Lakers. And then when the Thunder got bounced in that first round, everyone expected Paul George is going to the Lakers with LeBron James. This is happening. Paul George is going to the Lakers with LeBron James. And how do the Lakers trade for Kawhi Leonard? Because it was pretty clear that Kawhi was going to get traded. Do you remember all this? Do you remember this happening last year? Am I bringing back memories? Is this ringing a bell? And then for some reason, Paul George, the night the free agency opened, decided he was going to sign a 4-year, $128 million deal, taking a significant pay decrease, by the way. If he had just done a 1-year deal, he would be eligible for, like, the Supermax contract the next year, something crazy. Like, he sacrificed potentially hundreds of millions of dollars for this long-term deal. That's not even really a max. I don't think it was a max at the time. I think he could have made 150, but the Thunder were salary capped. Something crazy like that. I didn't look it up because I don't do that kind of stuff. Paul George signed a less than max deal to stay with the Thunder, who were just bounced. And he didn't even meet with the Lakers. That's what's crazy about this. He didn't even meet with the Lakers. He wanted out of Indiana because he said, I'm going to the Lakers. Trade me now or lose me. And they traded him, and then he said, nah, I'm not going to go to the Lakers, actually. Like, what the heck? Why? Why would you do that? It's just so weird. And then he did this weird sit-down interview with Dwayne Wade where he said in this interview, I always pictured myself playing basketball in a Lakers uniform. I don't know if that's how he sounds. That just made him sound stupid. He basically said he's always pictured himself in a Lakers uniform. And he had a chance to go to the Lakers and he didn't. It makes no sense. He wanted to go to the Lakers. He became a free agent in the perfect scenario for him to leave. They got bounced in the first round. It was clear that they were not going to be able to contend in the Western Conference with that team. It was very clear after that season. He had every opportunity to leave on decent terms even. And instead, he signed a less than max contract so that he can stay there for 4 years. And then literally a year later, there's an opportunity to go to the Clippers with Kawhi. And he's like, I want to do that. And he goes to Sam Presti and says, trade me. It's like, dude, make up your mind. You're a grown man. Make up your mind of what you want to do. You wanted to go to the Lakers. And then you just decided to re-sign with the Thunder. And now you want to go to the Clippers. And then in his presser for the Clippers, he said he's actually always been a Clippers fan. And he blamed the media for creating this fictional story about how he's always grown up a Lakers fan. It's because you said it! You said that you always pictured yourself in a Lakers jersey. That's a pretty clear indication that you're a fan of that team, Paul. It's ridiculous. Listen. The whole point to this was, if I'm the Clippers, I would just be wary of this guy. Because Paul George is, he's made just some questionable decisions in the last few years. In his personal life and in his professional life, he's made some questionable decisions. The on-court product is undeniable. Paul George is a great basketball player. This past year, he really proved that. Paul George just makes questionable decisions. If I'm the Clippers, I would be stressed about that all the time. So again, Clippers, you're winners of free agency, but just be wary of Paul George and his deceitful ways. Next team that won free agency. This might be a surprise to you, but I think that the Miami Heat were winners of free agency this year, and here's why. They finally, the Miami Heat finally signed a top free agent. Finally! The last time they did this was when they got LeBron in 2010. It's been basically 8 years since they got any relevant free agents. They've been running out these blue-collar teams in the heat of Miami. They've been running out these blue-collar teams for so long that you would find in Indiana or Milwaukee or one of these small markets. The Heat are in Miami. They are a big market team. I want a fun product on the court when I go to a Miami Heat game. Not that I've ever been, but my point is this. They finally got a top quality free agent. I've not necessarily been sold on Jimmy Butler. And in fact, within this podcast, there have been times where I've been critical of Jimmy Butler's attitude, his leadership, his skill. I definitely still think that Jimmy Butler is a top free agent. I think that he's a top player, and I like the signing for them. I really was impressed with how well Jimmy Butler played for the 76ers last year. After looking back on it, looking at some of his numbers, he played really well, and he had some really clutch moments too last year. Him on his own team running the show, I'm excited to see it. He's obviously, he can't replace Dwayne Wade because Dwayne Wade retired last year. And I think that there's sort of this weird stigma now, or this conception that Butler's the next shooting guard for the Heat. And that's just not the case. Like, he's not going to be able to replace Dwayne Wade. Two different players. But I like it for them. The other thing I like about their free agency, this is the other significant part of it and why I think they're winners, is they got rid of one of the worst contracts in the NBA, and it was Hassan Whiteside's contract. The rationale for signing him back when they did for as much money as they did was ludicrous. This is a guy who has bounced around the D-League. This is another guy that his talent is undeniable. When he wants to play, he's an excellent center, but also he rarely wants to play. He has the worst attitude of any basketball player ever. And he just doesn't fit today's modern NBA. Ugh, I hate saying that. But they got rid of him, and they got Myers Leonard back. And Myers Leonard is a decent pickup. Honestly, that's one of those guys that's like, he's not a top 10 guy this free agency period, but he's a solid pickup for them. And he's going to fit that mold that they have. That blue collar stigma in Miami. I like what the Heat did. I'm glad that they got Jimmy Butler. I'm glad that Jimmy Butler was like, I'm going to go play in Miami. I'm glad that they finally got someone who's a top player that they can sell some jerseys for. Because they've been running out Josh Richardson lately. Which, that's one downside to this whole free agency, is that, you know, they had to sign and trade for Butler. They didn't just sign him outright. They had to sign and trade for him, so they did lose Richardson. But I'm okay with that. You finally got someone that you could finally sell someone else's jersey besides Dwayne Wade. Congratulations. So the Heat, your winners in my book. The final team that won free agency was, no, it wasn't Philly. No, it wasn't the Nets. No, it wasn't the Celtics. I'm going with the Pelicans, and here's why. The Pelicans are not going to be a playoff team or a contender next year. But they got the number one pick. That was nothing of their doing, so I can't give them credit for how brilliantly they got the number one pick. That's by chance, and if they didn't draft Zion, then they're a bunch of idiots. Which, by the way, Zion looked overweight. I don't disagree with Seth Greenberg. This is so old. I feel like this is months old. He doesn't look that overweight, but he did look a little overweight. But he's a gigantic muscle. That's just what gigantic muscles look like. Seth Greenberg, you look like a potato. Like a old potato. Zion Williamson is a monster. I don't care if he's... And that's the thing. I don't care if he's a little overweight. The dude was jamming dunks. Like, he can still jump. He can still fly. He's not out of shape. He might have been a little overweight. I think it's fine. Zion is the best player from this rookie class. I think that's pretty clear. I'm excited to see how well he does in the NBA. I hope he does well, because there's just so much hype around this young man. I hope that he's successful. Obviously, the Pelicans also got all of those picks and all of the players for the Anthony Davis trade. And I don't dislike any of them on the Pelicans at the stage that they're at. They're not a win-now team. They're a let's-build-this type team. So I like having the patience to develop those young players. And I also like the other players that they got in the draft. I like Jackson Hayes. Not as a star center on a team, but I think that he's going to be a quality center who can play good defense. He's incredibly long, and he can do what he needs to do. He's going to be able to fill a decent role for them. And he's going to be cheap because he's on a rookie contract. So I like that. I do like that pick. He's not a bad center. He was decent at Texas. I enjoyed watching him in the summer league. And then this guy, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, was phenomenal in the summer league. I don't know how well he'll do playing off ball, because he's not going to be the primary ball handler, but I like this roster that the Pelicans are filling out. And they signed J.J. Redick. I like their roster. I think that they're going to be built to be a good team in the near future. They just need to wait out other teams. And I like that. I like that idea. They're waiting out some of these other teams that are going to start to age. They're going to find their opportunity to slip into the playoffs and to start to grow and to start to get better. Pelicans, you're winners in my book. Wow, that was a 17-minute segment. All right, let's jump into the losers. So when I was looking at the losers for free agency, just a couple came to mind. This is where it's like, a lot of these teams, I can't really definitively say if they're losers or not until I see how well they do on the court. But there were three teams that stood out to me this year as losers. The first one is Philadelphia. It, you know what? There's other teams that lost, too. These are really the only teams I want to talk about. Like, you could talk about Phoenix. Phoenix lost. No one wants to talk about Phoenix. Who cares about Phoenix? Charlotte lost. Yeah, Charlotte's been losing for the last 15 years. We're well aware that they're losers. We don't need to talk about that. So these were three teams that I'm like, compared to the other teams that won and to how well they're supposed to be doing, I don't think that they necessarily won. I think that they lost. And the first team is Philadelphia. And this might be a little controversial, but hear me out. I really don't like the roster and the budget that Philadelphia is putting together. They lost J.J. Redick to the Pelicans on a two-year $26.5 million contract. I think that's significant because they didn't replace him with a sharpshooter. They replaced him with Josh Richardson through their sign-and-trade, which, by the way, the only reason that they got Josh Richardson is because they also lost Jimmy Butler. So they lost Jimmy Butler, which is a big loss for them because he was the best player for them in the playoffs most of the time. Joel Embiid was also very good in the playoffs, but he had some moments where he was very bad. He was kind of sick, too. Like, there's some weird thing. But Jimmy Butler was one of their best players in the playoffs. They lost him, and they lost J.J. Redick, who is that's their sharpshooter. So now their starting five rotation, who they gained, they got Josh Richardson, as I stated. They also re-signed Tobias Harris, who they got last year in a trade with the Clippers. So they re-signed him, but they signed him to a very large contract, a five-year, $180 million contract. And it doesn't have a team option, doesn't have a player option. It's just five straight years for $180 million. That's a lot of money to give to a guy that's never been an all-star. Just saying. They also got Al Horford. That's right, they signed Al Horford from the Celtics, who's had very bad blood with them, with the 76ers for the last few years. He's also 33 years old, and they signed him to a four-year deal worth $109 million. He's going to be making $28 million next year, and it's gradually going to increase over the next 4 years. Al Horford is going to be making a lot of money at age 37. I hope he stays healthy, because he's a big man, and he's going to be 37 years old. Al Horford doesn't have an injury history or anything like that. It's just a lot of money, and it's a lot of commitment to make. Philadelphia has locked itself into this roster. Al Horford is not going to be tradable with this contract. I don't think Tobias Harris is going to be tradable with this contract. They've locked themselves into this roster. This isn't something they're going to be shifting around easily. They're going to be giving up significant assets if they need to get rid of these guys. They're going to have to be giving up a ton of futures if they want to get rid of these guys, is my assumption. And I'm concerned that they're going to make that decision in a couple of years. Philly gave the keys to the kingdom to Elton Brand last year in his first year as a GM. This isn't some experienced guy with a ton of experience and confirmed credible decision making. Like, I'm not saying Elton Brand is an idiot, but we don't know what kind of GM he is. We don't know if he's a good GM or a bad GM. This is basically a rookie GM going in and saying, I'm going to completely fill your books for the next 4 years with an aging Al Horford. He's on the wrong side of 30 by a long stretch. And also, I'm going to sign Tobias Harris to a five-year, $180 million deal. No one else was going to sign him to that, by the way. You didn't have to sign him to that. But you kind of did, because you basically told him from the beginning you were going to. That's not how you play poker, Elton. That's not how you play poker. I don't like how I feel like they've mismanaged their roster. They lost a couple of key guys from last year. I'm concerned to see what kind of product they're going to put on the court. Their starting five is going to be Ben Simmons, who can't shoot the basketball. I don't care what has been coming out on Instagram the last few weeks. This dude has never made a three-pointer in the NBA. He can't shoot the basketball. Josh Richardson, who is actually a good player. He's a fine player. But he's no Jimmy Butler. He's poor man's Jimmy Butler. So you replace Jimmy with poor man's Jimmy. That's not an improvement. You did get Al Horford. That's definitely an improvement at the power forward spot. But, of course, he's very old. So hopefully he stays healthy. Hopefully he continues to be the right product on the court that you need him to be. And then you've got Tobias Harris at small forward. You've got Joel Embiid at center. I'm just concerned with the product. I'm concerned with the quality. This could be one of those where it's like, I can't decide until I see it. So it's kind of a borderline loser, can't decide until I see it type team. But I'm going to go ahead and put them in that losing column because I don't think that they really did what they wanted to do this offseason. Also, I'm very excited to see Al Horford playing with Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid and Al Horford hated each other in the playoffs, so I'm really interested in if they're actually going to get along now. Next team that lost free agency, this is an easy one, the New York Knicks. Everyone already knew this. They didn't get Durant. They didn't get Kyrie. Those are the guys that they wanted to get. They didn't do it. Do we need to say anything else? Okay, we'll say a couple other things. The New York Knicks lost free agency because they signed Julius Randle to a gigantic contract. I don't dislike Julius Randle, but he's not Kevin Durant. Even with an Achilles injury, Kevin Durant might still be better than some of the guys on the Knicks. They also signed, like, Bobby Portis. Okay. But the biggest issue is that the New York Knicks have been saying they're trying to build a certain culture. They're trying to build a certain culture. They want culture-oriented guys. And so they went out and they got Mario Hezonja last year as their big free agent target. Excellent decision, by the way. And they went out and got Emmanuel Mudiay. They're trying to build from within. They wanted to get some guys that they felt they could build around, build a culture around. Well, both of those guys are gone, by the way. They went ahead and just let them go. So either they're lying, which they probably are, it's the New York Knicks, or they're just incompetent. They don't know how to build culture. It's one of the two. They're either liars or they're idiots. It could be both. New York, you lost free agency. Sorry to my New York Knicks fans, if there are any still. If there's any left, sorry. And the last team to lose in free agency this year, definitively lose. This is a hard one, too. No, you know what? I don't know if these guys lost or not. I feel like I have to put them in the can't decide until I see section. This is so hard. The Boston Celtics, I feel like you lost free agency this year. You lost Kyrie, which isn't an issue, honestly. That's okay. And we'll talk about that more in just a little bit. But you did lose Al Horford, and Al Horford was the cog in Brad Stevens' offense. The cog in his system. He was what made the wheels churn. And he's gone. He went to Philadelphia. That's a big issue because, of course, they're now kind of Eastern Conference rivals because of the playoff battles the last couple of years. I don't like losing Al Horford. I'm okay with them losing Kyrie, but for them to lose Al Horford in the way that they did, I think is bad. Now, to be fair, if Al Horford was like, no, I don't want to be here, and of course Philadelphia offered him money that they probably weren't going to pay, so that's okay in that same point. If you don't want to overpay for Al Horford, I get that. But I don't like to see teams lose guys to other teams just solely on money. Because I don't necessarily think that, especially in today's NBA, I don't think that players are overly concerned about how much money they're going to make. I think that teams will throw a lot of money at them. Maybe this was a unique scenario where Al Horford was like, I have to go out and make as much long-term salary as I can possibly get, and Philadelphia was like, oh, we'll give you $109 million over 4 years. Now Horford was like, thanks, idiots. Maybe that was the scenario, but I'm inclined to believe that a guy like Al Horford in his twilight years is seeking the opportunity to win a championship. That's what I'm thinking. Now, I guess, again, if the money's still there, maybe he's like, nah, I'm going to take the money. But the Celtics, I'm sure, were wanting to offer him a good contract. I'm sure it wasn't $109 million, but maybe it was $80 million. That's still really good money. It's $29 million less, but it's still really good money. And I think that the Celtics have a better roster than the 76ers, even without Kyrie, because they added Kemba. I don't like them losing Al Horford to the 76ers. And I think that's one big reason why they are losers in free agency. Now, they did get Kemba. I really like the Kemba signing for them. I think he's going to fit Brad Stevens' system well. And I just like Kemba as a person, especially replacing Kyrie. Ugh! Especially replacing Kyrie. I like Kemba a lot. But losing Al Horford, I think, is going to be very challenging for them to replace, because now they're running out a center. In the center position, they're running out Robert Williams, Enes Kanter, who they signed this offseason, and Daniel Theis. Depends on who you ask. And then, of course, they have Taco Fall in there. In their training camp. He's not going to make the roster. But regardless, that's going to be an issue for them, is losing Al Horford. He was often the best player on the court for them. I'm interested to see how Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum progress this year. I felt like they took a step backwards, both of them, last year. Gordon Hayward came on strong last year, so hopefully he continues that, coming back from that horrific ankle injury that he suffered at the beginning of his Celtics tenure. Hopefully he comes back strong. Hopefully the rest of those Celtics core continue to play well and mature and progress as they're supposed to, and hopefully Kemba fits right in there. I'm rooting for them, and that's weird because I don't like Danny Ainge at all. And I kind of, when Al Horford left, I was like, haha, that's funny. But I'm like, okay, I like most of the players on that team. You're losers, though, Celtics. You're big, fat losers of free agency. All right, let's jump into the can't decide until I see it section. The last segment is can't decide until I see it on the court. I could have put any of the teams from the loser. Or I could have put Philly and Celtics. I know that the Knicks are going to stink. I could have put Philly and Boston in this section. So I want to preface it with that. Both of those teams could have been in this section as well, but I'm going to go ahead and take a stand and say that Philly and the Celtics lost free agency this year and that their teams won't be as good as what they were hoping them to be on the court. And as I say that, one of those teams will probably make the NBA Finals. Gosh. Anyways, can't decide until I see it. Here are the four teams that I just can't decide if they won or lost free agency until I actually see them play basketball. And the first one is Houston. As you know, later into free agency, after Paul George was traded, Kawhi Leonard made his decision and Paul George was traded, the Thunder decided it's time for them to get rid of Westbrook because there's no future for him here. And this team is going to stink this year. They've committed to tanking. I'm sure Adam Silver appreciates that. The Thunder have committed to tanking. They were shopping Westbrook. It was rumored he was potentially going to go to the Heat, but he ended up going to the Houston Rockets. A lot of people did not like this trade for the Rockets. And I feel like I'm on an island a little bit. I kind of like this trade for the Rockets. They didn't give up that much for this particular trade. They did give up Chris Paul, who was on an awful contract, and he hated James Harden. They did give up two first-round picks well into the future in 2024 and 2026. Now, that's not to say that the Rockets are going to be relevant in those years. They could be awful. But they gave up some in-the-future picks, and then a couple of pick swaps coming up, 2021 and 2025. So again, you're giving up some picks. You're giving up Chris Paul, which isn't really an issue. You're replacing him with Russell Westbrook. But a lot of people have been concerned about if Russell Westbrook and James Harden can play together. Yes, by the way, they can. They've already done it in the NBA. They played together in the NBA before, and they were very successful together. Yes. Do I need to answer this for anyone else? Yes, Russell Westbrook and James Harden can play together. That's clear. That's why I'm like, I don't understand why everyone's like, well, I don't know if they could play together. They can. They did. It's happened. They went to the finals together. Kevin Durant was on that team too. They could play together. I'm not concerned about that. I can't decide until I see it though, because, well, The surrounding core is still a little weak. They haven't necessarily improved. They got Tyson Chandler. That's interesting. I don't know if that's good or bad. I mean, they still have Clint Capela. They still have Eric Gordon. They still have Austin Rivers. They signed Ben McLemore. That's interesting. They signed Deontay Davis. That's interesting. A couple of guys that were higher up draft picks that have not panned out. So they're taking some shots on these guys. They have a decent roster. They've got a couple of MVPs on their team. I like it. I like throwing that out on the court together too. Like, it's just fun to know that Westbrook and Harden are on the same team again. So if I'm Houston, it's like, yeah, I would rather have Westbrook in there than Chris Paul. Absolutely. I think it's a good move for them. Again, Westbrook isn't a three-point shooter. They don't need him to be. That's what everyone's concerned about. Well, they can't share the ball. They can share the ball. They played together. Westbrook has averaged a triple-double the last three seasons. He can share the basketball. Next team that I can't decide if they won or lost free agency until I actually see it on the court. My very own Indiana Pacers. I should just put this... They should be in this segment every single year. And listen... If you're like, well, why are you talking about the Pacers? You're just talking about your favorite team. I am. Yes, this is my podcast. Thank you. Make your own if you want to talk about your favorite team. But also, this team was like fifth in the East last year. So, they're a playoff team. So, they're relevant. It's not like we're talking about the Phoenix Suns. Did they win free agency? Of course they did not win free agency. They got Ricky Rubio. That's stupid. Do the Pacers win or lose free agency? I just can't decide until I see it on the court because they lost one of their best offensive players and defensive players in Bojan Bogdanović to a very large deal to the Utah Jazz. That's a team I could have included in this whole discussion, by the way, and I chose not to because the Utah Jazz are just boring to me. They're always boring. I don't ever think about them until the playoffs roll around. So if you're a Jazz fan, sorry. Make your own podcast. Please don't. Just keep listening to mine. The Pacers, they lost Bogdanović. They signed Malcolm Brogdon to a pretty large deal that I'm really not sure about. That's why I can't decide. I want to see how well he does as a primary player on a team. He's kind of been under the radar his whole time in the NBA because he came out in the second round. He was old. He wasn't a freshman coming out of college. I think he was a senior. He was old, but he was very good in college. Regardless, he's a rookie of the year because he's good at basketball, unlike these 19-year-olds that are coming out that end up stinking. He was good at basketball, and he's been good at basketball, and then he hurt his foot this past year. He came back towards the very end of the playoff run for the Milwaukee Bucks, and then the Pacers signed him to a very large contract because the Bucks couldn't afford to match it. I think he's a solid basketball player. I don't know if he's worth being the highest paid player on the team, which he is now, by the way. He's the highest paid player on the team. We do have all-star Victor Oladipo on the team. He's hurt, but he's not even the highest paid player. I'm a little concerned about that. We also signed Jeremy Lamb. That's not really even that relevant. We signed TJ McConnell. That's not that relevant either. My point is this. We lost Bojan Bogdanović. We also lost Darren Collison to retirement. That's a whole other weird conversation we can have in the blooper reel. But I don't know if the Pacers have improved or gotten worse. I just can't tell. And they were a playoff team last year, like a solid middle-of-the-road playoff team that they did awful in the first round. They were awful against the Celtics. Maybe they'll be better this coming year. But I just can't decide until I see it on the court. Hopefully Victor Oladipo comes back healthy. Victor, if you're listening to this, I'm sure that you are. Get well soon. I saw some great footage of you shooting threes at Summer League, and it just made me miss you. You're easily my second favorite Pacer of all time. Move over, Paul George. Two more teams. Here we go. Can't decide until I see it on the court. The Los Angeles Lakers. There were so many people that gave the Lakers all kinds of crap. That's right. I just used the C word on this podcast. This is a PG-13 podcast. Not really. It's not a vulgar word. Don't demonetize me. Everyone was giving the Lakers crap because they didn't get Kawhi Leonard. And then the Lakers, they came out and they were upset about it. Like, oh, Kawhi Leonard, he played us. He wasn't honest with us. let's take just a moment. Let's just take a step back, Los Angeles. You got Anthony Davis, and you got rid of Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, and Brandon Ingram, who you were not sold on. You got one of the top five players in the league to pair alongside the ageless LeBron James. The ageless LeBron James, who was incredibly unmotivated last year. Maybe he's more motivated this year. But there were other deals that you made this offseason that were quality deals. You made some good deals this offseason. You got DeMarcus Cousins for $5 million. This isn't the same DeMarcus Cousins that we saw in Sacramento and for his short stint in the Pelicans with New Orleans when he was there. He's a little bit older. Obviously, he tore his Achilles. It's still DeMarcus Cousins. He's a very good player. He's played with Anthony Davis before. I think he's going to do well for them. They re-signed Rondo. Rondo had a really bad year, if you look statistically. But I think he'll still be a solid point guard for them. Especially paired with DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis. He didn't have them on his team last year. He was throwing the ball to Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball. Give him a break. They signed Danny Green to a two-year deal. They signed Avery Bradley to a two-year deal. Like, those are the types of deals that if a championship contender was making those deals, everyone would say, wow, these are really good deals. These are what these are the type of deals that championship contenders make. They get these quality players on decent deals, and that's what the Lakers did. They didn't get their third superstar, but do they need a third superstar? They filled out the bench decently well. I can't decide, though, if they're going to be good or not. Is DeMarcus Cousins going to be good? Does LeBron really want to play? Is he going to be motivated this year? Is Anthony Davis going to be the same Anthony Davis that we've seen for the last 7 years in New Orleans? And, of course, was losing Kawhi Leonard really that big of an issue? Everyone's been saying that the Lakers lost. And again, it's kind of like Houston for me. I'm like, well, wait a minute. These are all pretty good players that they signed. They made some dumb moves. Like, they re-signed Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I don't know why. Why is he still in the league? They signed Jared Dudley for, you know, it's $2.6 million, but still, why? The only notable thing Jared Dudley has done in the last 6 years was almost fight Ben Simmons. That's it. So they made some decent deals. They made some stupid deals. I can't decide if they're going to be good or not. I just need to wait and see how they do on the basketball court. And the final team that I can't decide, it's the team that you've probably been thinking this whole time, when is he going to mention this team? It's the Brooklyn Nets. I can't decide if what the Brooklyn Nets did was good or bad. And here's why. Because the Brooklyn Nets have been patient for the last 8 years after they threw away their future so that they could sign aging Paul Pierce, aging Kevin Garnett, and build a super team of those two guys, Joe Johnson, Andre Kirilenko, Andre Kirilenko was part of that super team, and Deron Williams. That was actually a decent team the first year. They did pretty well. They lost to the Heat in the playoffs, but regardless, they were like the 4 seed in the East. Like, they weren't that bad. They've been waiting patiently to try to rebuild, because as you recall, they gave away every single draft pick that they owned for Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. Not a great long-term investment. It did not work out for them, of course, because they didn't win a championship, and they've been horrendous ever since. But they made some really good moves over the last few years. Their GM that came from San Antonio a few years back, I think his name is Sean Marks, he's been making good deals for them the last few years. He's been taking on salary so that he can get picks, and he's been using those picks to make decent draft choices. He got Jared Allen through the draft. He's a solid center. He's not an all-star. He's not one of the best 15 centers in the league, but he's a solid role player for them. He got Spencer Dinwiddie in a trade, who's turned out to be pretty good for them. He got D'Angelo Russell in a trade, who's been very good for them. He was a first-time all-star last year. Now, of course, they lost him because they had to give him up to get Kevin Durant. But they had been patient in building their team. And then when free agency rolled around, it seemed like, well, they now have to go after the superstars. It just kind of felt like, I don't know if they had to do this or not. Especially considering that Kevin Durant is on a torn Achilles for this next year. We don't know if he's going to be great coming back. If there was any team in New York that had nothing to lose in signing those two guys, it was the Knicks. The Nets had progress to lose. They had been progressively getting better. They were building something. And then they kind of cashed all that in to go all in with Kyrie, who is not capable of leading a team to a championship. If there was any team in the East that he could have led to a championship, it was the Celtics, and he could not do it. He was horrendous for them in the playoffs. He was horrendous. He was not Uncle Drew. He was Uncle Dro. What does that even mean? He was awful in the playoffs, and he was a terrible leader. And he's weird. He thinks the earth is flat. He has questionable decision-making. It's another one of those guys that makes a promise to the team. If you guys will have me back next year, I'd love to play for you. And then he leaves. He doesn't want to play for you. He's a questionable character. Is he really a leader? Is he really the best player that you could have gone after? And then to get Kevin Durant, yes, Kevin Durant is, he is one of the top three best players in the league when he's healthy. He's a two-time NBA Finals MVP. He's an overall NBA MVP, regular season MVP. He's been a scoring champ like seven times. He is a transcendental offensive player. But he tore his Achilles and he's out next season and he turns 30. I said in one of my most recent podcasts, I still think that he's going to be capable. If there's anyone that this could have happened to where they can still be elite, it's probably best to happen to Kevin Durant because it doesn't necessarily rely on his leaping ability, his athleticism. That doesn't mean that he's going to be the same Kevin Durant. It just means that his career isn't over. This isn't Kobe. This isn't Chauncey Billups. Not that those two players are on the same level. Chauncey was an NBA Finals MVP. I'll give him that. It's still an Achilles injury. And it's just weird for me, for the team to be like, we've been doing really well. We finally made the playoffs. If we can start to... The type of process that I like to watch is I like to watch teams wait out other teams. Like, if you wait out some of these other teams, things open up. It's kind of like Toronto. Toronto waited out Cleveland, and then they made the right move at the right time. As soon as LeBron left, it's like, it's open. It's available. Let's go for it. And they got Kawhi, a healthy Kawhi. They didn't gamble with a Kyrie Irving, who, in my opinion, is a B-level point guard in this league. He's not a top three point guard in this league. He's not going to lead you to a championship by himself. And they absolutely won't be contenders next year, and then they're going to have to hope that Kevin Durant comes back as good as he's been in order for them to contend for a championship the following season. It just seems like a significant risk for them to sacrifice what they've been building. I'm a little perplexed by it. Now, to be fair, I don't know that they even had conversation with Kevin Durant, because from some of the stuff that I heard, it sounded like Kevin Durant just kind of told them he was going to sign with them, which is kind of crazy that a player is just like, hey, I'm going to come play for you this year. They didn't have to court him. Most of the time in free agency, teams line up so that they can try to court the player. And this time Kevin Durant was like, no, I'm going to play with you. I'm going to play for you. And they were like, okay. And I wonder if they... I wonder if they wanted him, you know, like, how do you can't tell Kevin Durant no, because then it's like, oh, you guys told Kevin Durant no. Like, imagine the backstorm. Imagine the firestorm, the media firestorm that you would get if you told Kevin Durant no, if he was like, I want to play for you. That's why I can't decide until I see it. And I might have to wait another year before I really see it, because Kevin Durant's out this year. I hope he gets healthy soon. The last segment is the NBA mailbag. I did not save enough time for two questions because I spent too long ranting about Paul George and how much I dislike him. Hey, Paul, if you're listening, I dislike you. Here's the question that we have today. With so many players having dropped out and removing their name from the USA Basketball camp invite for the FIBA World Cup, is it a good thing or a bad thing for basketball overall. I think it's a bad thing for basketball overall. Personally, I think it's a bad thing. Theoretically, the players that are withdrawing their name, they're all NBA superstars for the most part. There's a couple of them that aren't superstars, but the players that have withdrawn their name, it's important for them to stay healthy so that they can compete for championships and so that they can continue to grow the brand of the NBA. We don't want these guys to get injured. Some of them that declined, I'm referencing an article from the Washington Post for the list of players that have all declined, and the Washington Post lists that Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson declined. Yes, they declined, you idiots, because they're injured. Journalists. Some of the players that have declined are injured, so that's why they're not going. That's a fair reason for not going, because they can't play. But some of the other guys that have declined, they didn't necessarily give reasons of why they've declined. Some of them have achieved pretty much everything that you can achieve when it comes to NBA basketball. Like, I'll give LeBron, or basketball in general, I'll give LeBron James, Steph Curry, even Westbrook, like, I'll give those guys passes because they've won gold medals. They've won championships. Well, not Westbrook, but that was kind of a dig. They've won championships. They've done a lot. Westbrook was an MVP. Like, they're kind of older. Like, they have families also. They probably want to spend time with their family in the offseason. That's fair. Those are good reasons. Those are assumptions that I'm okay to make. But there are some young guys that they declined, and the reasons are perplexing. Anthony Davis declined because he's preparing for a championship run with his new team. There's nothing better than playing competitive basketball to get in the mood for wanting to win a championship, Anthony. There's nothing better than having the taste of a championship. Fresh off a FIBA World Cup gold medal, there's nothing more motivating to go into the NBA season and win a championship. Just stupid. It's a dumb reason. James Harden said that he's focused on preparing for the retooled Rockets. And by retooled Rockets, all it means is that he's playing with Westbrook now, because that's really the only change that they made. That's it. And he apparently has to spend the whole offseason focused on playing with Russell Westbrook, who he's been friends with since he was 10. Again, a stupid reason. Bradley Beal declined because his second child is due in August. That's a good reason. Thank you, Bradley, for coming up with a good reason for not wanting to play for USA Basketball. That's a good reason. Other B-level players didn't give reasons. Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum are not playing. DeMar DeRozan, Eric Gordon, Tobias Harris are not playing. Kevin Love is not playing. Zion Williamson declined an invite. What I don't understand, if I had that opportunity, I would be playing every year for the FIBA World Cup and for the Olympics. Every chance I got, I would want to win gold medals. These are moments, those are times that you do not get, and they do not last long. I'm just perplexed by how these guys don't want to play for championships. Like, who doesn't want to go out and beat the best international competition and just confirm and certify that they're the best players on the earth? Also, if we've learned nothing else from USA Basketball in the last couple of years, if we've learned nothing else, we've learned this. You can create a whole persona for yourself by simply dominating on USA Basketball at the international level. Take a look at Carmelo Anthony. The dude he is a Team USA living legend for what he did on Team USA Basketball a couple years ago. He was incredible. He was the human highlight. He was phenomenal. Like, these guys have that opportunity. Carmelo Anthony did that. It wasn't LeBron James. It wasn't Kevin Durant. It wasn't Steph Curry, Kawhi Leonard. It was Carmelo Anthony. He's not even in the league anymore. These dudes could do that, and it's like, nah, I'm good. I just want to hang out in LA and go to Taco Tuesday. It's ridiculous. I think it's bad for basketball because throughout the summer, we just don't have anything. As soon as free agency ends, we have nothing. We're just sitting here watching YouTube highlights. We have nothing. If we had good competitive international basketball that really developed into something competitive, it would be so wonderful to have. It would be so fantastic to have every year in the summer. But we don't, because no one from the USA wants to play for Team USA Basketball. It's disappointing. Team USA, if you're looking for players, let me know. I'll play for you. That wraps up this episode of the Basketball Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't subscribed, make sure you subscribe on your favorite listening platform. We're on all the platforms because we use Anchor. Anchor helps us distribute to all the platforms. So we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify, we're on Google Casts, we're on Overcast, we're wherever you listen to podcasts, we're there. Don't worry, we're there. We want to start to get more consistent with our episodes. I've been gone for like 2 months. It's ridiculous. We're going to start to release episodes on Wednesday. This one's coming out Wednesday evening, Eastern Standard Time. You can start to expect episodes to come out Wednesdays, maybe even a little bit later than this, but it'll be available for you then starting on Thursday morning so that you can listen to it while you're commuting to work, while you're playing Fortnite, whatever it is that you do. We'll be there for you Thursday mornings, no doubt. Thanks again for listening. Subscribe if you haven't already. If you have a question for the mailbag, send it to us, thebasketballpc@gmail.com. That's right, thebasketballpc@gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you on the next episode of the Basketball Podcast.